ELC Radio.
Imagine with me for a moment what could be. Imagine a world where men lead in their marriages, where men lead in raising their children, where men lead in protecting those who are weak and oppressed. It is the most important journey you could possibly be on.
Men of ELC, join us for Kingsman, the second Friday of each month at 7 p.m., 2830 G Street. Iron sharpens iron.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Once upon a time, not long ago, when people wore pajamas and lived life slow, where laws were stern and justice stood, and people were behaving like they ought to good, there lived a little boy who was misled by another little boy, and this is what he said. Me and you tonight, we're gonna make some cash, robbing old folks and making the dash. They did the job, money came with ease, but one couldn't stop, it's like he had a disease. He robbed another and another, and a sister and a brother. Tried to rob a man who was a DT undercover.
John chapter 10, verse 7 through 10. As we've been talking about last week, we've started this new series, Crooks, Thieves, and Thugs. And what that means is that's not your cousins and your friends that you live around. These are actually things that steal from your life as a believer. Okay, John 10, 7 and 10, it says this. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, listen to this now, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and that they, meaning us, may have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just thank you, and we invite you into this place. We know you're here. Your word promises us that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of us. And Lord, as we worship you, we ask right now that you would open up our hearts and our minds to revelation that would free us from the containment that the enemy wants to put us in. Lord, open up our minds, take away ignorance so we're not robbed from anymore. You shed your precious blood so we can have better lives. Lord, I pray that every person here gets to experience the abundant life. And everybody said, amen. Well, that's why we're going into this series here, because as I stated last week, it breaks my heart to go to nations and be in churches where people love God, but they're not experiencing the abundant life that John 10:10 promises us, okay? Guys, it's a promise. It's not a suggestion. Jesus died a painful, humiliating death for a reason. It's not just so that you get heaven one day. Heaven is going to be amazing, all right? That's awesome. I'm glad I'm going there, because the place that you go, if you don't go to heaven, is called hell. And people don't talk about hell. But what is hell? Hell is basically spending eternity without God, separated from God. The Bible talks about hell as being a place of eternal damnation, a place of a fire and brimstone, Jesus talked about. A place of burning and gnashing of teeth. And, you know, it's amazing. People don't want to think about hell, but hell's a real place. Hell is a place for those that make the choice to live life on their own, not receiving Jesus Christ into their life. It's what this scripture is about here. Jesus says, I'm the only door into the pasture, into the sheepfold. What is the sheepfold? The sheepfold is the church. The sheepfold is those that follow God. He says you can't get there through anybody else. The only doorway into the kingdom is Jesus. Can I get a good strong amen on that? Amen. Just reading the Bible to you. But that's not the only thing we get. If it was, that would be enough, okay, that we get heaven one day. But Jesus was beaten and bruised, took whips on his back so that we could have an abundant life. And what that speaks about is a life of more than enough. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. More than enough love, more than enough grace, more than enough strength, more than enough money. Come on, somebody. More than enough joy, more than enough happiness, more than enough strength to overcome addiction, more than enough healing to get through the things you're dealing with. This is the life God wants to give us. But yet so many of us are not experiencing it. And as a pastor, I have a problem with that. Because, you know, when my wife and I answered the call to start this church, we said to the Lord, God, if we're going to go through how hard it is, how difficult it is, and all the attacks that we've got to bear as pastors, we don't want just another mamby-pamby church, come on somebody, full of people that barely love God. We want to make a church that will help change the world. We want to build a place where people can come and get set free from drugs and alcohol, can get set free, can get healed, can experience better lives, can have better marriages, can have good kids. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because these are the things that are we're supposed to experience in the covenant that God has given us. Okay? I think my Siri is listening to me up here. Wow, praise God. She's talking to me. Siri's amening me today. Wow, that has never happened. Amen. So these are the things that we should be experiencing, but there are crooks, thieves, and thugs. And last week, we started talking about what are the crooks, thieves, and thugs stealing the abundant life from you. And the first one we began to talk about last week was the spirit that dishonors God and his word. If you haven't heard that, go back on the podcast and listen to those. I'm not going to review too much, but I do need to start there because I want to talk more about that. As we talk about why this thing steals from us, when you don't honor God, when you dishonor him and his word, it takes from you. It's not that it affects God in any way, but it affects you. And we shared about the spirit of Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and how God made it real clear after the fall that if you're going to worship me, it requires a blood sacrifice. But Cain got it in his head that, well, I know God said that, but this makes sense to me. And we do this as believers. Come on, how many know we do this? We read the Bible, but then we go, yeah, I know it says that, but I'm going to do this over here. And we come under that same spirit of Cain. And Cain, what he did was he dishonored God. God asked for a specific sacrifice. God asked for a specific requirement. And Cain gave what made sense to him. And we do this in American Christianity. We start talking ourselves out of the blessing of God by listening to our intellect. Now, can I tell you something? Your mind was never supposed to be in charge of your life. Your spirit is. Your spirit is where God lives. We're supposed to be. That's why the Bible says be spirit-led, not intellect-led. Because when you're intellect-led, you're going to run up on some roadblocks because God's ways are not our ways. That's why we have a lot of people in the news. And if you follow certain things, there's been certain worship leaders and certain young authors that are walking away from their faith. I don't know if you guys have seen some of that. Don't be shaken by that. Don't be shaken by that. That happens when you try to understand God and have an intellectual Christianity. So some of these guys that were worship leaders and stuff, they just came out on Twitter. I'm having problems with my faith and I don't know about it. It's like guys that wrote some incredible worship songs. Well, I'm praying for those dudes. That's too bad, but I'm not shaken. Listen, I learned a long time ago, there's some things that don't make sense to me, but I follow God by faith. And if God's got to make sense to my mortal mind, we're in trouble. Because the Bible is very clear. His ways are not our ways. There are some things you cannot fathom. So don't even try to understand the fullness of God, okay? But we can have understanding of how God works. Amen? And that's what we're trying to give you here today. So the thief comes except to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what having dishonor towards God and his word does. And Cain decided he was going to serve God a new way. He was going to serve God according to what makes sense to me. And we do this in America. We read the Bible, but we go, but I think this will be okay. This is why a recent statistic shows that many Christians in America, I think it's over close to half, do not tithe to their local church. And you go, well, you know, yeah, because, you know, in their mind, they just think, well, you know, God understands, you know. But see, it's not an understanding issue. It's an honor issue. And dishonor will always steal from you. That is why he gives us the Bible, 66 books, to tell you this is how to serve me. This is what you should do. Because if we went by everybody's opinion, how many know we'll be in trouble? Listen, there's no way all of us could even agree on what we would have for lunch today. There's no way. Try to take your family out to lunch after. You guys ever do that? What do you guys want for lunch? Hamburgers, tacos, pizza, sushi. Nobody agrees. So that's why as a parent, you got to go, this is what we're having. And you got to deal with all the... because you ain't never going to agree on everything. You know, we're having food at the teen night. But we're not asking y'all what you want. And it's not because we're mean. We'd never get everybody to agree. So you just show up. It's free. Come on. And when it's free, it's for me. That's all you need to know. So you just come and enjoy, all right? But people want to serve God through opinions. And when we do that, guys, we move away from something that is so important, and that is honoring God and his word. And so Cain was the first one to start serving God like that. We have churches today that are following God after the order of Cain. They're doing what makes sense to the mind instead of doing what the word says. And the spirit of Cain, we talked about this a little bit. It entices you to offer God what makes sense rather than what God asks for. It's a compromising spirit. So there are people who won't bring the tithe into the storehouse like the Bible says, but they'll drop a 10 in every 2 weeks. And they'll be like, well, at least I did something. Yeah, you did something, and that's good. Praise God you did something. You'll reap for that something. But what you didn't know you were doing is you were dishonoring God's word. So you'll reap for the little you do, but you'll also be robbed from through the dishonor in your heart by not obeying. That's what the Bible describes. It'll be, he says, your life will be as a person putting coins into a bag with a hole in it. That's the Christian life for many of us. You do the right stuff, but you never reap. Why? I submit to you, dishonor in your heart is stealing your harvest. And what is dishonor? Dishonor is simply being like Cain, choosing what makes sense to your mind over what God asks for. If you let your mind rule this thing, that's why some of you don't come to church every week. Because your mind will tell you, oh, it's okay, you need to rest. It's okay, you can listen to the podcast later on. Because the mind wants comfort. But your spirit says, no, you need to be in the gathering of the saints. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. So if we listen to, you know, other voices, that's why you got to go to the word of God. What does God's word say? Okay. And submit to those things. So Cain was the first one that said, I'm going to do it this way. And he paid the price for it. He was cursed, the Bible says. And many of us are under that same curse. What was the curse that came over Cain? Is that he was cut off from the abundant life. And he was sentenced to a life limited by only what he could produce. That's most Christians. When Cain chose to disobey God, he put himself in a prison of his own that said, from now on, you'll only eat, the Bible, God said, you'll only eat what you can toil from the ground. Some of us are only experiencing the life that you can make for yourself. But let me tell you something. God's got a better life for you. God will put you in places you don't belong. Anybody ever been in a place you don't belong? You ever sitting there that first time you went to a fancy restaurant? Come on, somebody, you remember that feeling? You looked around and you tried to play it cool, but you didn't know why there was three forks. You looked around and, you know, you put your napkin in your shirt and looked around and go, ain't nobody else did that. Oh, I got that from a movie. You remember that feeling when you were someplace where you felt like, man, I should not be here. God wants to do that more. God wants to take you on vacations where you sit there and go, how did I get here? He wants to put you on missions trips, overlooking views where you go, I'm just a dude from South Sac. How am I here at the pyramids? Come on, somebody. How am I here at the Caribbean Ocean taking a dip? It's because you give yourself over to the abundant life. You open the cage of being somebody that moves past a life that works only what you can produce in. See, when you step into the abundant life, God takes up the slack. He produces things that you can't produce. Single people, this is how you can marry up. God will give you a wife that is way out of your league. Oh, come on, somebody. God will give you a husband that you just straight up don't deserve with your crazy self. You crazy, and God will give you a good man. That's the abundant life. But if you want to be like Cain and live by your mind, you'll get the husband you deserve. You don't want that. You'll get the wife you deserve. You don't want that. Come on, somebody, amen? We want the wife and the husband that favor gives us. We want what God can produce. Listen, you want to have kids, right? And they're so awesome that you scratch your head and go, where'd he get that? Come on, somebody, amen? You want to have kids that get good grades, and the only grade you ever saw that was good was a D. I passed. And you got a kid bringing home straight A's. And you're going, we got to do a DNA test because this might not be mine. No, God is breaking you through into a level of abundance. You guys seeing this today? But it don't come through dishonor. It don't come through dishonor. That's why we got to stop letting dishonor steal from us. That's why Satan is after making a culture of dishonor. Nobody honors anybody anymore. The other curse of Cain was that he wandered, the Bible said. He wandered the land. It causes you to never plant. Always wandering. Not just wandering, but wondering. Never belonging. Always offended. Never fitting in. Never trusting. Yeah, you got a spirit of Cain. And that spirit will always cause you to dishonor God and his word, which will cut you off from the life that Jesus died on the cross to give you. Amen? Are you guys catching this today? Now, Leviticus chapter 22, 18 through 20, we just write it down in your notes. You are taking notes, amen? This is why I say take notes on your phones, your devices, because when God speaks to you, you better write it down. Because what Satan comes to steal from you is nothing else but God's word. Because if he could steal his word, he could keep you ignorant. He could steal everything else in the abundant life. And listen, when God speaks, it's worth writing down. So when you come to church, take notes. Can I get an amen on that? This ain't school. This ain't, you know, the test is not coming on a piece of paper. The test is coming in life. And so Leviticus 22, read it on your own. It basically talks about what the required offering for Israel was. And one of the things that God said to the children of Israel, he said, when you bring the offering, which at that time had to be a blood sacrifice animal, he said, don't bring me the sheep with the birth defects. Don't bring me the sheep that's born blind. Come on, somebody. Come on, you know somebody always trying to get over. Right? They have a bunch of sheep. They're going to bring to the temple the jacked up one. The one with the broke leg. The one that nicknamed him Chweckle over here because he can't stand right. You know, they bring that sheep over, okay? Instead of bringing the good one. Instead of bringing the prize one. The one that's going to get the most at the market. God says, don't bring me those. I want the best. That's why he asked for first fruits. Give me the first ones. Don't give me the fruit that was left that fell on the ground, on the tree. No, bring the first fruits, he would say later on to the children of Israel. But this is what he set up. And then Malachi chapter 1, years later, look what happens to the people of Israel. Put that up, Malachi 1, 6 and 8. I want to read it to you in the Message Bible. It says, isn't it true that a son honors his father and a worker his master? God says, so if I'm your father, where's the honor? If I'm your master, where's the respect? God of the angel armies is calling you on the carpet. And who does he call first? The priests, the leaders. He says, you priests, you despise me. You say, not so. How do we despise you? And listen to his answer. You despise me by your shoddy, sloppy, defiling worship. You ask, what do you mean defiling? What's defiling about it? When you say the altar of God is not important anymore, worship of God is no longer, listen, a priority, that's defiling. And when you offer worthless animals for sacrifices in worship, animals that you're trying to get rid of, blind, sick, and crippled animals, isn't that defiling? Try a trick like that with your banker or your senator. How far do you think it will get you? God of the angel armies asks you. So this is what was happening in Israel. People started taking the house of God and they started taking God lightly. And can I tell you something? We do the same thing in here every week. We do the same thing in churches all over America. We do the same thing even in churches all over the world. We take God lightly. And can I just tell you something? When we do that, we lose. It robs from us. God's going to be okay. Tell somebody God's going to be okay. But guess who it robs from? It robs from you. Because we begin to deceive ourselves that what we're doing is acceptable when it's really not. And can I just tell you, when you don't do the job right, what happens? You don't reap the benefits. Come on, you see this all the time. How many times you've been to the gym, right? You see people at the gym working out, like really working out. Like they got a towel, come on, and they're wiping sweat away. But you see that one dude every morning, he's on the treadmill going like 2 miles an hour on his phone, scrolling. How many know he's at the right place for the right type of blessing, but if he don't do the job right, he don't reap the benefits. Do y'all see that? Some of us got quiet because we're that dude, right? We're that one at the gym doing it like that, throwing up 10 pounders, you know? It's like, bro, put some more weight on that thing. Get the full blessing. But can I tell you this? We do the same thing every morning at church. Some of us come in falling asleep. Come in eyes closed. You're just like, at least I'm here. Come on now. Go to bed early on a Saturday. Come on. Take a shot of Red Bull. Come on. Get some coffee in you. Why? Because this is that valuable. If you honor God. But if you're doing the religious duty, it's good enough. And that's what was happening to the children of Israel. There was no honor to God in their service. They focused on the fact of just getting by. Well, let's just give God the sheep nobody wants. And God rebukes Israel and he says, I ain't having it. And can I tell you something? We got to be a church that says, no, God, we're not going to do that to you. We're not going to do that to you. He said, well, Pastor, how do we do that? We don't sacrifice animals. No, but you know what is a sacrifice to God every Sunday? He says, bring a sacrifice of praise. You know what the equivalent is to bringing lame, blind sheep to God? The equivalent to that today is coming into church late when praise and worship has already started. Because let me tell you something. This is what we gotta adjust in our church because we want to honor God. Why do we want to honor God? Because there's blessing that's going to change your life. It's going to change your life being in a church like this. So the reason we got to confront this is because people don't, we come to church wrong. We come to church like we approach America, consumers. Talk to people that you know that are Christians and ask them why they go to church. They'll always tell you selfish reasons. I go to church because I like the word there. I like the children's programs. I like the music. I like that. And guess what's the center of it all? I. Ask people about how Sunday service was. You know what they'll tell you? they will tell you what they got out of it. How was church? Oh, it was so good. The word was, it spoke right to me. Listen, all that's fine. But you know what we're supposed to bring to the Lord? A sacrifice every time we come. And what kind of sacrifice? A sacrifice of praise. So when you come in halfway done with the worship, oh, come on. The worship time is basically the time of offering. It's the time before we come before the King. We present him something. God, you've been so good to me this week. Here's praise. God, you got me through another day at my job, which I hate. Here's praise. God, my life, I'm still breathing. Here's praise. That's how we're supposed to come in. And when we offer the King a sacrifice out of our hands, then he responds and he blesses us. And you hear a word that changes everything for you. You experience a presence that transforms you. And then we perpetuate that. That is what a relationship of God with God is supposed to be like. But you know what it's like in most churches? Worship starts and people have the audacity to say, well, at least we made it in time. He hasn't started preaching yet. As if that is the goal, to just get mine and get out. No, listen, if that is your goal, you got this wrong. You got a spirit of Cain. Because you just come in to take. When the attitude of a Christ follower always comes first to give. What did Jesus say? It is better to give than to receive. And so when I'm posting on Saturday nights, hey, get to church early. Be there early. It's not because I'm mad at you. It's because I want to see your life changed. It's because I want to see what would happen if you would just start bringing God something first. What would happen if you would get out of this consumer mentality of speak to me, God, touch me, God, heal me, God, give me, God, and you start coming to God and saying, God, you are worthy of my praise. I lift my hands and I don't feel like it. I praise you and I can't stand this song. I don't even like this song, God, but I'm going to sing it because you are so good. What would happen? What would happen if you just let go of that chair in front of you? Y'all know people think holding on to the chair is worship. We stand up, we hold the chair. You won't fall if you let go of that chair there. Let it go. Clap some hands. Lift some hands. Oh, God forbid you dance. God forbid you dance, but guess what? A dance is a sacrifice of praise. And it's always a sacrifice because you're going to come in here tired. You're going to come in here with things on your mind. Give God a little clap. Give him something. Open the guys, the words are on the screen. We're not asking you to go learn the music and come in ready. You can have first grade education and be like, okay, you could just make it happen. But do you want to know why we don't? Pride. You want to know why we don't? Because we don't feel like it. What is all that? That is giving to God what makes sense to you. You want to do that? That's cool. God will still love you. Remember, this ain't a love issue. Thank God we're not going to come under a curse from God. He's going to love you no matter what. But guess what? It's going to rob from your life. Because you have not yet learned how to submit to his word. And it's easy, y'all. Give him what he asked for. He gives the scriptures. He says, come into my presence with thanksgiving and a praise in your heart. He says, praise me on the instruments. We got instruments. He says, sing a new song unto me. We got new songs. Sing, you know, dance before the Lord. We can dance. You can lift your hands. All that. And you start doing that, and what does that give? What does God get from that? Honor. Yeah. Honor. And when you start giving God honor, we get the blessing that comes with honoring God. Can I get a good strong amen on that? Let me go a little further here because I want you to catch this. This isn't like you're in trouble. I'm trying to help somebody that's trying to get blessed, but you ain't seeing it yet. Don't walk out of here and go, oh, damn, Pastor, he was getting honest today. No, 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 don't see it like that. See it like, man, I see something that's keeping you from getting what I know you want. And you know what all it'll take? A little bit of discipline. A little bit of discipline. And repentance. To say, God, forgive me for always coming to church late. And making it about me. I want to be here, Lord, when the first song starts. Because you're worthy of that praise. You're worthy of those three songs and much, much more. And how dare I come and bring a little crippled praise before you that is barely a praise and act like I did something. That's what was happening in the Bible with Israel. They're all excited about their little maimed offerings. And God said, that's not doing it. So this isn't a word for all of us to just feel beat up. It's to be like, God, forgive me. And I'm going to get my family up earlier. We're going to get our coffee, going to get our Red Bull. Come on, somebody. We're going to get our Monster Energy. We're going to leave it at that. Don't go any deeper than that because I know some of y'all are going to call the old dealer and no. Don't do that. But we got to come ready. We got to come to church with a sacrifice. Are you guys tracking with me? One of the greatest thieves, that's why I'm spending so much time on this, that Christians face is the spirit of dishonor. So I ask you today, and you need to do some inventory, are you giving God an acceptable sacrifice? Is your life an acceptable sacrifice? Not are you sacrificing, because we're all sacrificing. Every single one of us could be somewhere else today. We don't have to be in church. We're here because we love God. Nobody's questioning our love. But what we have to look at is what is our sacrifice producing? Is it an acceptable sacrifice? What is it that makes our sacrifice acceptable? It's, are we doing what God asks us to do? So what are some biblical ways we give honor? You need to write this down because you're going to forget it. And then if you forget it, you fall back into ignorance. And the ignorance keeps you from receiving your full blessing. And I don't want to see that. So look at this. What does the Bible say about how we give honor? Well, the first way we give honor I just talked about was through praise and worship. Praise and worship. Psalms 100, 1 through 4. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, knowing that the Lord, he is God. And it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep, there it is, that sheep thing again, of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. You want to honor God, you got to praise God. Don't you dare let this praise team praise God for you, because it don't work like that. They get blessed, you don't. And it's not that God don't want to open up the windows over you. It takes faith. What is faith? Faith is believing and speaking, but faith is also acting on God's word. And when you see that, okay, God wants me to come into his presence with thanksgiving, give him thanks. Amen? Give him thanks. Anytime you want the presence of God to come into your car, your house, your family, all you got to say is just thank you, God. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my health. Thank you for this day. And the minute you start thanking God, his presence comes. But it doesn't stop there. Then you got to start giving him praise. Father, I praise you. I praise you for the blessings in my life. I praise you for the future. I praise you for where I'm going. And you start ascribing praise to God. Guess what? That honors God. And can I just tell you something? On a Sunday morning, we don't all do it. We don't all do it. The praise team can tell you. We can get them up here and line up. And they can be like, oh, yeah, you don't ever do it. And you don't ever do it. But it's not about that. It's not about calling somebody out. It's about helping somebody get where they need to get. And we could use excuses all day. Well, Pastor, I'm an introvert. You know, I'm just not, that's not my personality to be lifting hands in front of folk and stuff. And Pastor, you know, I'm not a singer. You know, that's not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're not going to put you on the stage to do it. But you got to have enough in you, honor unto the Lord, that God, take what I got. Take this scruffy old voice and I'm going to sing to you. But God, here, this is praise. Amen. Lift a hand, clap hands, something, because that is how you honor God. And when we come in on a Sunday and we don't do those things, guess what that does? It shows dishonor towards the Lord, and dishonor holds up the blessing of God. Amen. Let me show you here. Hebrews 13, 15. It says this, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Amen. Praise is your sacrifice. You know what makes it a sacrifice? Nobody wants to do it. Everything's got to be perfect for you to do it. Just do it. We get up here. Hey, it's time to praise. Okay. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to sway a little bit. I'm going to sing. I'm going to at least try to sing. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to focus on the Lord. Guys, that's honor. That's honor. And here's the thing. We think we're honoring God just by showing up. That's a sacrifice, but it may not be the acceptable sacrifice. Because if that was enough, God would just say, just show up, y'all. Come in, just show up. No, he says, when you come, this is how you come. There's a protocol to this thing. Is this helping anybody today? All right, is this making anybody mad? Good, good. You're all okay. Okay, what else honors God? Let's look at this one. Now, we're going to make you mad here. Ready? What else honors God is tithes and offerings. Oh, here he go. And here he go. You got to be talking about money. Another preacher talking about money. Listen, if you think like that, you're in the wrong place. But let me tell you, money is how we honor God. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Y'all ready for this? It says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Amen. Y'all see that? Yeah. Honor the Lord through your giving, so you'll be blessed. Not so God will be blessed, so you'll be blessed. Yeah. How do we dishonor God, you say? Not giving. Listen, as a preacher, as a pastor, there are times I wish that wasn't in the Bible. I wish I didn't have to preach this, because you know how people look at me when I got to quote God's word about this? They look at me like I'm trying to take money from them and their hungry kids. Listen, I wish this, I have an easier job if this wasn't in the word. It'd be a lot easier for me to just go on about that. But you know what? If I do that, you lose. You lose. Jesus died to give you a life of more than enough, but you ain't never going to reach it without honoring him. And how do you honor him? You honor him by doing what he says. There are people that won't tithe, but they say, you know, well, when I come into enough money, then I'm going to give to the church. That's cool, but that's not what he asked for. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know about this tithing thing, but you know what? If I have enough at the end of the month, I'm going to break God off. That's cool, but that's not honor. Amen? Now, you will be blessed by approaching God like that, but you're not going to access abundance. This is not going to happen, because that only comes through honoring God through his word. And you would think people would learn this by now. You'd think. But we let that spirit of Cain convince us that it don't matter to God. Listen, if it didn't matter to God, he wouldn't have put it in his word. There's a lot of things that don't matter to God. A lot of things. But there are some things that do matter. Why is money such an issue? Well, Jesus said it himself. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You can't separate it. You can't. And you can have all the conversations with yourself. See, that's what Cain did. Why I got to go buy a sheep? I got all these fruits and vegetables here. Let me just give God this. No, no, no. See, he made it about what made sense to him. We got to learn. It don't work like that. And when you try to serve God like that, you lose. Can I get a good strong amen? Amen. And again, it's about God trying to get something to you, not take something from you. See, a poverty mindset, low-level people think somebody's always trying to rip you off. Now, I know some of us were raised under mentalities like that. We don't trust nobody. You know, we don't want to pay for nothing because we think everybody's going to rip us off. Something breaks in your house, you don't want to hire somebody because, oh, they're going to rip me off. No, they're going to fix it right. That's what they're going to do. Yeah, but, you know, then they're going to charge me this, charge me that. But see, you're going to pay more not doing the job right because you're going to have to fix it in 6 months again. Yeah, amen. But see, we're raised under mentalities that don't translate into the kingdom of God. And we start getting a Christianity that is a dollar store Christianity. Like, we want to serve God, but don't want to pay the full price. Now, here's the cool thing. The price has already been paid by Jesus, but the response is still to bring a sacrifice. It is. The good life is going to cost you trusting the Lord. And here's the crazy thing. For those of us that are really saved, you say, what does that mean, really saved? People that understand that I would not be where I am if not for the grace of God. We don't have a problem sacrificing. Why do I go to nations and sleep on hard beds and travel 30-hour flights and eat food that I ain't used to and preach through interpreters and do all that? Because I owe it to the Lord. Amen. I owe it to Him. It's the least I can do. Why do I? I've been tithing now for 28 years. I've given to building pledges and sacrificed. And three times in my life, I've given everything I had to the cause of Christ. Three times. Why do I do that? Because I understand He don't have to have me in the family. He didn't have to adopt me. He didn't have to give me this life. And see, people that have a hard time sacrificing to the Lord, still crying about being home on a Friday night when all your friends are partying, man, you got to get really saved. Because you still think this is a religion, a game. It's not a game. This thing is an eternity. This is something that you're going to have to, we're going to be with Jesus for the rest of forever. Right? For the rest of forever. And we're worrying about the next 50 years. And you're mad because you don't get to do what you used to do and all that. Guys, we got to understand what God has done for us. He's taken away my past. He's taken away every sin. He's given me things I could have never got on my own. So to sacrifice, to serve Him, to do something for Him that hurts me a little bit, man, He's worthy. And here's the greatest thing. The greatest thing you got to know about your Father God. You cannot outgive Him. Anything you give to the Lord, He's going to give back to you in greater quality, quantity, and kind. So I gave God my jacked up life at 19 years old. And He's given me a life that is beyond my wildest dreams. And here's the crazy thing. I ain't done yet. Anything God asks from you or requires of you, it's not because He's trying to take from you. He's trying to give you more. But He wants to see one thing. Will you trust me? Will you honor me? And the question for a lot of Christians is no. We love you, God, but we don't honor you. And that's where everything stops. That's where everything that God wants to do in your life will stop with that. Because it takes honor to be in relationship with the God of the universe. That's it. He accepts you. Remember, that's what grace does. Grace takes away anything that can hinder us from connection with God. He's paid that price. And all that it takes now is us to respond. The proper response to grace is honor. How could you not honor God for what He does for us? And a lot of us don't. And you want to know why? Because you just don't know Him. You don't know Him. Because when you know Him, if God says, hey, give me that $1,000, you understand on the other side of it, He's going to give you 10. He's got a better job for you. He's got some. See, we don't understand that. And again, it goes back to understanding kingship. God says, when you come in my presence, bring an offering, bring a sacrifice. Why? Because if you do that, then I have to do it. Guys, it's a kingdom key. And some of us are trying to get God to work like the world. We just, God, give me this. God says, whoa, 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 read the book. I'll give you whatever you want if you do what the book says. How do I get a blessing? We just cry. God, I need you. God says, do what Pastor Sergio was talking about on Sunday. Yeah, but God, I need a better job. Come into my presence with singing. A praise in your mouth, bring in offering, because when you do that, I have to respond with a blessing back to you that is greater than what you gave me. Yeah, God, but I don't want to do that. I just need help. And God's up in heaven going, you know that emoji on your phone? It's just like, why don't they listen to my messengers? Why don't they read the Bible? Why are they just ignorantly crying all the time? Is this helping anybody? So I want you to bring it home. What is it that you're believing God for you to do in your life? There's a proper way to get that response. It's honor. So next Sunday when you come to church, get here early. Get some sleep the night before. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you better get some sleep. He's talking to you. Tell your other neighbor, he saw you. He saw you. Listen. Like, you got to come in like, okay, God. Okay, I believe you. Amen? Some of you, we won't see you anymore because I ain't going back to that church. Go on with your spirit of Cain. Remember, that was Cain's problem. All he had to do was go, God, I'm sorry. Dang. Instead, he got mad and started hating. Hated so much, he killed Abel. That's why people leave churches and don't come back. They'll leave here. I ain't going back to that church. Think they know it all. He could have said that a nicer way. Go ahead, Cain. We'll see you. And God will protect us from your murderous words, too. Smile at me, church. Come on. Can we handle big boy preaching today? Or do we just want to tell you to be kind to animals? You guys know that. Be kind to animals. Amen. Quit fighting pit bulls. Amen. This is going to help you guys. But can we make the change? Can we make the sacrifice to say, God, I got to start honoring you because I'm not honoring you. God knows you love him. You're in church on a Sunday. But if we can be a house of honor towards God, everything shifts. Your marriage goes from being mediocre to incredible. Your finances going to making ends meet to making others' ends meet because your needs have been done met. You start getting jobs you don't qualify for. You start going places that in your mind you say, I don't belong here. You start reaping benefits of an abundant life. How? Honor. Honor comes down to this. Do what his word says. Amen? So we come into worship from here on as a church. It don't take a certain song to get you there. Just come in ready. Come in on time. Bring your coffee if you need to. Bring your 42-ounce Red Bull in here if you need to, you know? Do your sit-ups outside or your jumping jack. Get the blood flowing, amen? Come in happy. Come in expecting God. And see what God is going to do in your life. I want to read you this last scripture here in Colossians. Because there's one other way to honor God, and that is through service to God. Service to God. Three ways the Bible talks about honoring him. Number one is through praise and worship. Let's take inventory of that. Let's do better. Let's actually give God a praise. Number two is through tithes and offerings. It's not a little thing, guys. And it's not just about paying for things. I know we got a building pledge drive that we're going to start. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody to do more than they need to, but I'm trying to share the word with you that when God speaks to you, obey it, honor it. Because if he's asking a great deal from you, it's only because he has a great deal to give you. And the last thing is the service to God. How is your service to God? You know, we have a lot of people that serve here, but can I just tell you something? Not everybody serves well. I want to change that. Because how dare we come to the house of God with an attitude about being an usher, about serving in the children's ministry, about setting up, about tearing down? How dare we have an attitude about our service unto the Lord? Because our service unto the Lord is a way we honor him. So when they say get here at 8, get here at 9, but you roll up at 9:30 talking about, at least I'm here. Check your heart. Check your heart, because you know what's happening? You're doing the right thing without honor. That's exactly what Israel was doing. They were still bringing offerings. It was just maimed animals, blind animals. We're still serving, but we're mad. We're angry. We're showing up late. We're not giving God our best. Look what Colossians says about that here, 3:23-24. It says this, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord, here it is, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I told you last week about our amazing trip we had to Thailand. And we had a businessman in Malaysia come to me 6 months ago when I was there preaching. He said, the Lord told me I'm to bless you and your wife with a trip to Phuket. He goes, I'm going to cover the cost. I'm going to put you up in my favorite resort. And we got to that resort, right? And our minds were blown. We were having one of those moments like, how do we get here? Except we knew the answer. We got here because of our service unto the Lord. And as I was there, I was having a conversation with God. And I was saying, God, thank you for another nation. He said, yeah, but this nation's different. He says, because you're not ministering to anybody here in this nation. I'm ministering to you. And as we were at that place there and we were enjoying that moment, I was realizing, and I even went on, I posted a little thing on Instagram about it, that it was my reward for serving the Lord and not serving man, not serving you, not serving a boss, but doing what I do unto the Lord. And this is what I tell you why we do this. See, you've got to do your job good at work. You got to do your job good at home. And you got to do it good in the church. Why? Because you work for God. If you work for God, God pays better than your employer. Now, if you work just for your employer will pay you for that. But when you work for your employer as unto the Lord, that's when God gets involved. And you not only get a paycheck, you get a blessing. And as I was sitting on that beach in Thailand, that revelation just started coming to me. He said, keep working for me. They don't see your sacrifice. They don't need to see it. Work for me. And that's when God begins to bring the rewards. And some of you, it's hard to do things without anybody seeing. Be careful of this spirit that always needs a pat on the back. Always needs to add a boy. Those are good. You should give them. But you know what? Sometimes God hides your service to check your heart.
Well, I don't want to be an usher no more because I do all this and nobody even says thank you.
That's why you're doing it? So I'll see it? So the head ushers will see it? So somebody will go, you're amazing? How about we just do it as service unto the Lord? And if you get an attaboy, you get a good job. Amen. Thanks. I appreciate that. But that's not why I do it. I work as unto the Lord. Why? Because I want to honor God. So when you go to work on Monday, stop talking about the boss. You don't work for him. Don't do the limit that everybody on your job does. It's dishonoring to show up at your job late. I got zero amens on that. But I'm telling you, the abundant life comes when you begin to honor God. Quit letting dishonor steal from the life you're supposed to have. Amen? How many of y'all are ready to go to another level? We can't let these things steal from us no more. Honor is the key of the kingdom. It doesn't only work with God, it works with everybody. We've talked about this before. What you honor moves towards you. What you dishonor moves away from you.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.